For we wrestle. Now, growing up in high school, there was a lot of sports that I liked. I liked basketball. I liked football. I liked baseball. I did not like wrestling. I was not built for wrestling. I just was not. Now, I know that some of you guys really like wrestling. I just could not get across my mind getting down on the mat and hugging some guy that was big, hot, and sweaty. I just couldn't do it. It was hard for me to do. Now, some of you guys want to do that. That's all right. I just had a hard time doing that. But you know what? Track I liked, baseball I liked, things like that, but wrestling was not one of mine. But I want you to understand this. Whether I like wrestling personally does not negate the fact that I am in a wrestling match. And this morning when I woke up, I was in a wrestling match. I don't know why. I've got a reoccurring dream that happens about every few years. I have this, and it goes back to my childhood. Maybe something happened when I was a child, I don't know. But goes back to the farmhouse that we lived in, and there was an old nasty basement, and there was actually an old crawl space underneath the back porch that had a door. And Ann, I don't know if you remember this or not, there was a steel door. And the only thing that was down there was cobwebs and centipedes. I mean, it was just horrible. It was nasty. There was an old cistern that was down there. But there was actually, underneath of there, there was a tunnel that went from that cistern up inside of the basement that I found. I always have this reoccurring nightmare, and I don't think I ever did this, but you could actually crawl from one part to the other part. And I have this reoccurring nightmare. I get stuck. And nobody can hear me. And I keep hearing this thing over and over and over about this. You know, I keep having this dream about getting stuck in this tunnel. Boy, I hate that. I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning. I tried to go back to sleep. And the only thing I could think about was that stupid dream. I mean, you ever have dreams? They just don't make sense. And so I keep dreaming these things. And so I start thinking about Scripture. And I think about all these. You know what the devil was trying to do? He was trying to get my mind unfocused. He was trying to get my mind detracted from preaching the Word of God this morning. You see, we are all in a wrestling match. And I want you to understand the very first thing about this conflict, the greatest conflict, greater than what's going on over in the Middle East, greater than what's going on in Israel, greater than what's going on in the streets of America. The greatest conflict is our spiritual conflict. And listen, we are all in a battle. The Apostle Paul said, "For we wrestle." That means the Apostle Paul himself was wrestling. That means your preacher wrestles. It doesn't make any difference the color of your skin. It doesn't make any difference how young you are or how old you are. You are in a spiritual battle. Every person here today, you say, "Well, you know what, preacher? I'm just kind of burnt out on religion. I'm just kind of burnt out on Christianity. I'm not going to get involved." You are involved. And you are in a battle. And you can go ahead and say, "I'm not going to be involved anymore." You are losing the battle at that point in time. Because we are all in a conflict. The Apostle Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. He told Timothy, "And that thou mightest war a good warfare." 1 Timothy 1:18. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 26, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." The Apostle Paul was not in a shadow boxing contest. He was in a battle. And we need to realize that we are all in a battle. Jesus said himself, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." He said the spirit indeed was willing. He said, "But the flesh is weak." You know, we've got this concept that Hollywood and Disney has promoted. Well, just trust your heart. Follow your heart. Do yourself a favor. Don't do that. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter number 7, "For from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornications, thefts, covetousness." He said all these things come from within and defile a man. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't trust your heart. Trust God. Trust His Word. If you trust your heart, you very well may be misled. The very first thing that you need to realize is this. Our conflict is personal. No one is exempt. No one is exempt. Today, if you're lost, you're not exempt from this conflict because the devil is going to do everything he can to try to keep you from getting saved. He is going to distract you. He's going to allow you to pick apart believers. You know, the unsaved are really good about this. They see an inconsistency in your life. You know what they're going to do? They're going to major on that. They're going to say, well, you know, Pastor Rick or Brother Joe or Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. And they find fault with all the believers. And then the devil magnifies those things and they say, oh, those guys are Christians. I don't want nothing to do with it. That's what happens. You see, saved or lost, you're not exempt from the conflict. Our conflict is personal. The devil is going to do all he can to try to keep saved or unsaved from getting saved. And he's going to try to keep the saved from being effective servants of God. So number one, our conflict is personal. The Apostle Paul said, "For we wrestle." And then I want you to notice that our conflict not only is personal, but our conflict is spiritual. Now I'm all in favor of gun rights. I don't belong to the NRA, but I probably should join. There's a lot of things that are out there in our society I probably ought to be a part of. I just haven't got around to it yet. One day maybe I will. But making sure that ourselves or that we are free as a people is very important. I think that we ought to make sure that we keep freedom in our country. We are here today because we have freedom to do so. Not every country in this world has that freedom. But you know, here's the thing. What's more important than that, than physical conflict, is understanding that our conflict is spiritual. Our conflict is spiritual. You know, one of the greatest enemies that we face is that person that we look at in the mirror every morning. And we've got to face this flesh that wants to do the wrong thing and say the wrong thing, that wants to trust in the wrong thing. We need to understand our conflict is spiritual. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." He goes on, it says in verse number 12, "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He said that is where our spiritual battle really lies. It is on a spiritual plane. Now I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. We need to realize it is not against people. It is against spiritual wickedness. As I said in the Sunday school, there was a phrase that was going around a few months ago after the riots that took place out in the state of Missouri. And someone said, "Black lives matter." And I agree, they do. And then someone came out with a statement, "All lives matter." And you know, I agree, they do. And they all matter because every person has a soul. And every person is going to spend eternity someplace. And so all lives matter. Even the lives of those babies that they abort, those lives matter. Amen? Those that are in nursing homes and can't get out, those lives matter. These little boys and girls and moms and dads that ride our buses into the church, those lives matter. And we need to realize this. Our conflict is not against people. And people want to try to go ahead and throw race or ethnic backgrounds or religion into the mix. And you know what? It's not about that. We are not to be at battle with those people. People want to try to make race war all over again. That is not our conflict. What is our conflict? Our conflict deals with rebellious children. It deals with broken homes. It deals with alcohol and drugs. Our conflict deals with child abuse and sexual abuse and stealing and lying and covetousness. All of these things are a result of a spiritual battle. We think of hatred and violence and murder and terrorism, and you say, oh yeah, that's all horrible. You see, all of those things are a result of a spiritual problem. Now, some of those spiritual problems are rooted in religion. Nevertheless, they are a spiritual problem. Listen, when a religious group, I don't care what you want to call them, say that, and they end up come out and make statements, well, death to this group and death to that group. Where is the love of God? Amen? We need to realize our conflict is spiritual. It's not against people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, there may come a time when we have to defend our land and our country. I hope that never happens here in our soil. And I thank God for our military who go abroad and fight the battles over there so we don't have to fight our battles at home. But I'm here to tell you, the greater battle lies within. Our conflict is spiritual. So if you see a problem in our society, the root of that problem is not a race problem. It's not an ethnic problem. Really, it's not even a religious problem. It's really a spiritual problem. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness that's rooted in religion. I want you to notice the third thing. Number one, our conflict is personal. No one is exempt. Every person here is going through a spiritual battle. Our conflict is not physical, it is spiritual. It's personal, it's spiritual. Our conflict, number three, is against. Someone once said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. It says in verse number 12, for we wrestle not, what's that next word? Count how many times the word against is mentioned in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, we, as a believer, we are against some things. And yet today there are some that call themselves Christians that don't take a stand for anything. Oh, believe whatever you want, do whatever you want, practice anything you want, and as long as you believe, that's all that matters. And the Apostle Paul said, there are some things that we need to take a stand against. He said, first of all, I want you to take a stand against principalities. Now that word principalities comes from a word where we get the word archaic from. It means from the beginning or the corner or the first estate. The Bible talks about in Jude chapter number 1, verse number 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. The idea of principalities, it's talking about spiritual hierarchy. And we are to stand against those things. And so when the devil and all of his host of his fallen angels come against us and try to tempt us to get us to do what is wrong, we are to stand against those things instead of going along with the flow. We find it in Mark chapter number 5. There was a man that was afflicted with many demons. The outcome was he was tormented day and night. But after he met Jesus, the demons left. And listen, after you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a change that ought to take place in your life. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul said we need to be against principalities. Spiritual hierarchy. And then the word powers. That word powers means the right or the privilege or the jurisdiction. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2 it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is described as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. It says he's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. You see, we need to stand against the power of Satan. You say, how do we do that? This passage of Scripture says we need to put on the whole armor of God. You say, well, I like the sword of the Spirit. You need to put on the whole armor of God. Well, you know, I like faith. I like the breastplate of faith. You need to put on the whole armor of God. Because unless you put on every piece of God's equipment for spiritual battle, you become vulnerable. Amen? By the way, if you look at the spiritual armor, there's protection for our head, the helmet of salvation. There is the girdle of truth to protect ourself. There is the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart. There's the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. There is the sword of the Spirit. There's the shoes or boots for the preparation of the gospel. There's no armor for your back. The Christian is never to turn and run from the devil. Face him and go forward for God. We are to be against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. We need to take a stand against the darkness of this world. Years ago, there was a rock and roll group that wrote a song about Mr. Crowley. It was in reference to a man by the name of Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was considered the wickedest man that ever lived. Vile. Involved in all kinds of wicked practices. And yet if a Christian would stand up and preach against the sinfulness of rock and roll music and people that live such ways, we are the ones that are demonized. There's something wrong with that mentality. We need to take a stand against the rulers of the darkness of this world. According to Strong's exhaustive concordance, if you look up that phrase, it says this, an epitaph of Satan. That's what it says right in the concordance. I don't think as a Christian I want any part of that. Then it talks about we are to stand against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and all of his demonic forces. Listen, as a believer, let's take a stand for what is right. Let's take a stand for what is good and what is godly and what is holy and what is pure. Let's take a stand for what is morally right. I've heard a lot recently about this is not the values of America. Well, they don't share our values, or they, I've heard the president say that, talking about certain countries and certain peoples about their values, and I'm thinking, what values? They don't have any values over there. They don't value life. They don't value people's freedoms. They want to bring people into bondage. They don't have values. At least not the values that I hold dear. Spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. I said all that to say this. We are in a battle. God has given us the armor that we need to face the battle. Look what it says in verse number 11. Put on the, what's the next phrase? Whole armor. The complete armor. If we fail to put on all the armor, we prepare ourselves for failure. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Look at the next verse. What's the first two words? Stand therefore. And then he gives the list of the equipment. Loins girt about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Shield of faith, verse 16. Helmet of salvation, verse 17. The sword of the Spirit. And then he concludes verse number 18 with prayer. It's kind of odd. He talks about all of the spiritual warfare. And then he concludes in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication for the saints. I really believe that our battles are won on our knees. I believe that as we pray and as we seek the face of God, that's where our battles are really won. With all that said, let me just say this. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's. Let's turn ourselves over to Him. We've looked at our conflict and is personal. We looked at our conflict as spiritual. We've looked at the fact that our conflict is against. But let's look at our Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2 and or 1 and verse 21, it says, He is above all things. He is above all of our battles. Far, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in which is to come. He is before all things. Colossians 1 and verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He has conquered all things. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 and following, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have victory today? You're in a battle. Do you have victory? The devil wants to rob you of victory. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided victory for you. What are you going to do with the armor that God's given you? Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He is going to receive His children up. And then He's going to judge the world. He is going to cast Satan and all of Satan's followers into hell forever and ever. The question is today, are you ready to meet Him? Have you prepared yourself for battle? You do so, first of all, by receiving Christ as your Savior. If you've already done that, then you need to walk in the Spirit of God. You need to apply the spiritual armor to your life. But today, I want you to stop and think for a minute. If I were to die today, God forbid, but if I were to die today, am I 100% sure that I would go to heaven? Am I 100% sure that I'm saved? John said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." I'm glad to say this morning, I remember a time and a place when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I remember when I was born into God's family, and God's done a work in my life. Matter of fact, He's still working on my life. He's not done with me yet. And if you're saved, He's not done with you yet. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you saved? I hope so. If you're not saved, in just a minute, we're going to give a verse of invitation. We're going to invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, then why not go to God and say, "Lord, help me to put on the whole armor of God, because I realize I'm in a conflict this morning." Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, today we do ask and pray that You'd be with those that are here today. Help them, Lord, to realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Not over land, not over property, but Lord, over the souls of men. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in people's lives. And Lord, I know that there are people here this morning that do not know You as their Savior. Lord, I pray that You would speak to them, call them out, bring them to You. Help them, Lord, to find salvation before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that those of us that know Thee as our Savior, help us, Lord, to take the whole armor of God. Help us to realize our conflict is spiritual, it's personal, and we cannot be exempt. Help us, Lord, to find refuge with Thee. Guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name.